What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 340, and our podcast this week is brought to you by the Patriot Viper VPR 400, which is an RGB M.2 driver. Ryan, you need to get some RGB.
I have plenty of RGB in my case right now. Thank you very much.
Here's a question I always want to ask you before we get into this drive is, what is your RGB? Like, do you have it like mine? Like, mine is all rainbow wave, like RGB puke style.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is right now. It's like just a, you know, shifting RGB wave across, you know, the 9 fans that are in there, the water blocks, the memory, the motherboard, everything other than the keyboard. I just have it like a teal color. That's it. It's like, I don't do anything with the keyboard.
Okay, I always want to know, because mine's, and I'm getting kind of tired of it. I am doing it, like, we've been talking about the new build, but we'll get into that.
Every now and then, though, I do like a theme, like Christmas or Halloween or something, if I'm feeling it. But
But yeah, guys, the Viper VPR 400, it's a Gen 4 NVMe SSD, comes with RGB lighting. So if you did want to add even more RGB lighting to your build, you can do it with these drives. They do look awesome in your system. I actually have the original, which I believe is the VPR 100. I believe that's the Gen 3 drive. I still have it in my main system, and it looks awesome with everything. So if you're looking to get a Gen 4 drive, check this out. Again, you can go to thinkcomputers.org/VPR400, and it'll get you right to the Amazon page. So you can go ahead and, pick this up. I didn't introduce Ryan. We already talked to Ryan. And Ryan, I have a couple special things for you. And then we haven't talked about it yet. Before we get into that, Jim is in the chat. Jim from Home Gadget Geeks. We're hoping to have him on soon again to talk about Christmas, which is coming up. Can you believe it?
I have to ask him first.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Jim comes on for a Christmas episode. But we're over a month away from Christmas. Isn't that crazy?
It's coming up quick. Yeah, I mean, I'm just realizing that we're hosting a Thanksgiving here on Friday, and I've got two of them coming up Thursday. You know, it's just like, flying by.
Yeah, but I did pick this up, and
what you got? Oh, it's the winter. What flavor? What is it? I can't tell. It's winter, but
Fig Apple Red Bull.
I'll try it. We were talking about this the other day. I asked you if you had tried the new summer flavor, which I saw was it peach strawberry?
This one. I actually saw this from what's his face? Another YouTuber. He posted this on Twitter, and I was like, I have to try it. And I saw it the other day at the store. Also, don't go to the grocery store between now and the end of the year, because I literally went today. All I wanted to do was pick up iced coffee. That's all I wanted to get. Okay. And you would think that the end of the world was happening. Holiday time, everything. Yeah. It was. I should have just ordered everything on Amazon Fresh. But we'll try this apple. What is this called?
I've really liked the watermelon one that you introduced me to a while back.
The watermelon one is good. This is Fig Apple. That one.
Well, while you're taking a sip, I'm just on an Arizona iced tea, Arnold Palmer light, and I'm just realizing it's the light, so
less sugar.
If it is, like, there's either less or no sugar. Nope, there's high fructose corn syrup. All right, good, because I do not like fake sweeteners.
This is this Fig Apple is not all that. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
All right, I'll try it.
It's not bad. It doesn't have that. So, like, I used to drink Red Bull for like a very long time, and then I was drinking it for so long. It just had a really bad aftertaste. I just didn't like it. This doesn't have that bad aftertaste, at least not yet. So that's good. But yeah, I'll keep on drinking this for the rest of the night. So one thing I want to talk about for everybody who is watching and listening is that over the past 2 weeks, we did a lot of back-end stuff on the website. So hopefully the website should load faster for you.
Nice.
Because of this, we had to change our mobile layouts and change it back to the one that comes with like our theme. It's kind of trash right now. Over the next 2 weeks, I'll be working on making that more, just so it works better on mobile. It loads fast, but it doesn't look amazing by any means. So we're working on that. But the desktop version of the site should load very fast. That was one of the things that I wanted to fix because it was getting pretty slow and there's a lot of things bogging it down. So it finally had to take some time and do that, which is really good. So that's kind of what's going on with the website. If you guys do notice it is faster, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter or whatever it may be. Yeah. But if you guys do want to follow along with the podcast tonight, and we are here on Thursday, by the way. It was Ryan's anniversary last night.
Yep.
It was. How many years?
20 years.
So. 20 years. That's a big one. Yeah.
It was. And neither one of us, like, we don't do like big celebrations. So it was like dinner out at a semi-nice restaurant. We had the kids with us. So it's like, you got to temper that expectation, right? Where are the kids going to allow us to eat that's not McDonald's, but isn't a five-star restaurant, right? So we went to a local restaurant here, had a really nice dinner. Everybody got along great, right? There's usually one of us that gets cranky or, you know, it just throws things off. But no, it was really good. Had a great meal. Yeah.
Good. So well, congratulations on 20 years. Thanks. That's a very long time. Do you feel old?
No.
Okay.
The waitress was like freaking out about it being our anniversary and our age and stuff. It was kind of funny because my wife and I do look younger than we are.
You do.
That's what we hear.
And I've said this multiple times on the podcast. Ryan eats trash. Like, he eats candy and all this trash, and he's so skinny. I don't know how he does it. Because over the years, my metabolism has changed, and I have to eat healthy. Ryan just eats whatever he wants, candy, whatever, and he's fine. So I don't know how he does it, but
it's not that bad of a – it's just because you see what I eat when we're at CES. So.
I am getting you a really cool Christmas present, by the way. You will enjoy it.
I got a couple things lined up for you too.
It's food related. So, all right. So I have to remember to order it though. So, but in any case, but if you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. A lot of stuff going on. Awesome review, which we'll get right into. So I was going to do a couple reviews, and I decided there was a case launch this week. And because I wanted to launch the written review with the video, I canceled everything else because there was no way I was getting them both done this week if I didn't put the other reviews off till next week. So this case is really cool. You can actually see it. Let's see if I do this right this time.
I see it really glowing back there.
That's right there. That's the Fantex Eclipse G500A case, which came out today. That's another reason why we pushed the podcast. I actually asked Ryan to push the podcast. He didn't ask me. He forgot about his anniversary.
So. I didn't forget. I was like, oh, yeah, probably be a good idea, though.
We pushed it to today so we could talk about this case on the podcast. This is Fantex sort of high performance, high airflow case. And I have to say that they've done so many things right on this case. It's like you see cases that are just super flashy, but when it comes to either building in it or how it's designed, you're like, oh, it looks nice, but this could never be practical for a build that I'm actually going to use on a daily basis. This case is completely it's awesome. Everything was super well designed on this case, which I think is awesome. And if you are going to be doing a new build, Jim, talking to you because you're going to be doing a new build. If you are going to be doing a new build, this is a case that I would highly recommend because they have done pretty much everything right on this case. So this is, and the video is on our YouTube. We're going to go over the written review, but if you guys just want to watch the video, it is on our YouTube. So go ahead and check that out. But yes, this is your standard mid tower. We have the white version, but it also will come in black as well. There's a couple different versions of the case. So we have the DRGB version of the case, which comes with three 140 millimeter ARGB fans that are mounted in the front of the case. And then there's an RGB strip on the side and on the front. There's a performance version of the case, which is going to come with four included fans, but they're just black fans. In that case, it's all black. And then there are fanless versions. So just like a lot of other popular cases these days, maybe you don't want the Fantex fans. Maybe you want a different style of fan, or you want to design it however you want. You can get a fanless version as well. So there's a bunch of different versions, which I like. And I think we're that's becoming very common these days. We don't just get a case that's kind of specced one way. We get a couple different options, which I really like. So the big selling point of this case, and it has been for a lot of Fantex cases, is the mesh. So we have a mesh front, of course, designed for high airflow. This is their ultra-fine high-performance mesh. Basically, what they're able to do is have these ultra fine holes in the mesh, and what that allows them to do is it's still great for high airflow, but it also traps dust and things like that. So you don't actually need filters on this case. So many other cases you have mesh, but then you have a filter behind it, and that filter of course stops airflow, right? Adding that extra layer of fabric, which it is typically, that will inhibit your airflow. So here you don't need that, which is really good. So we've all mesh fronts. You can see power button at the front, and then this RGB strip, which we will show you the lighting here in a second. Front opens up and we can see those 140 millimeter ARGB fans. All of the fans in the case that come with it, they're all daisy chained together. And the RGB elements are all daisy chained together as well. So out of the box, you don't have to connect anything. The only thing you have to connect is the PWM connection for the fans to power them. So you connect that to your motherboard. But beyond that, you don't have to connect anything. All the RGB is done on the case itself. There is a controller. So I really like that, because so many times, especially if you're a beginner, you're like, what are all these cables? I don't know how to connect these. And it's really, really nice that they've done that. At the top section of the case, it is ventilated, just the same type of mesh that we saw on the front. And as you can take it off, we have another mounting point here. And the cool thing about both of the mounting points, so on the front, there are removable brackets at the top. This cooling mount is not removable, but they designed both of these brackets, so there's a lot less metal in the way, again, just for higher airflow. So on so many cases, we have brackets that will support a ton of different things, and there's a lot of metal pieces in the way of your actual airflow, especially in the front of cases. On the front of cases, we see a single removable metal bracket that has a lot of horizontal pieces of metal in the way. Here, like if you can see, I mean, there's not a whole lot of metal here. It's a lot of just open space, which is really good for airflow. On the front of the case, we have the three 140s installed. You can also do three 120s if you want, or radiators up to 420 millimeters. At the top of the case here, there are no fans installed, but you can do three 120s or three 140 millimeter fans, and then radiators up to 360 millimeters. So if you are looking to do water cooling, you're pretty much covered there. The side panels of the case, the main side panel, is a tempered glass panel, and it's on a hinge, which makes it super easy to open up. So there's a little groove here at the front, and as you can see, it sort of just opens up very easily. And because it's on a hinge, you can just pull up on it and it fully removes from the case. Super easy. It's not ugly with all those, you know, screws. There's no screws anywhere or anything like that. It's just nice and clean.
Is it held closed by a magnet, or how's it stay?
Yeah, shut? Yeah. So there's magnets on the opposite side that just hold it into place, which is really nice there. One thing I wanted to point out about the back of the case, you do get vertical mounting. You get three vertical slots if you wanted to install a graphics card. I do want to point out, though, that there's not much room beyond the third slot. So if you are getting something that's a little bit bigger, maybe an RTX 4090, if you did want to mount it vertically, you want to make sure it's going to fit in this case. That's the only thing. You can fit a 4090, you know, normal horizontally, but if you want to do it vertically, you just want to make sure it will fit in this case. That's kind of the only thing there. Inside, typical two compartment design. So main compartment, motherboard, graphics card, bottom compartment, power supply, and storage. We have these really cool, these are sliding covers that basically you can open up. They're fully open right now, so you can see all their cable routing holes. And then when you're done, you can close them tighter so you don't have a bunch of open holes, which I really like. They also cover mounting points for hard drives. So when you remove them, there's a bunch of mounting points for two included hard drive cages. So you get two large hard drive cages with this case. They both support either a single, each one supports a single 3.5 inch drive or a 2.5 inch drive. And you can install them on this side of the case. We can also install them in the bottom section of the case, which down here. So you can see how they're installed in the bottom. You can stack them on the bottom, or like I said, you can install them right here if you want to. Super easy to install. These cages don't come pre-installed in the case. They come in the accessories box, which I like because a lot of people aren't really using bigger drives. And if you're not going to use them, you don't have to take them out, which just saves you some time, I think. But there's a ton more storage on this case, like a lot. So one of the really cool things is when you take that opposite side panel off the case,
it's, I love this,
super, super clean. So you get these two large doors, which are basically cable covers. They are made of metal, which is really good. They sit on hinges, which makes them easy to open. But it's, I don't know if you guys can see this, but you see the little white dots here? I don't know. Yep. Can you see this, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just little rubber inserts. And if you remove them, they're just holes. And those holes allow you to mount hard drives on these. So you can mount three hard drives on... Yeah, so you can have three hard drives here, three hard drives on this bottom one. And then, of course, you can see these mounts as well. So you get three more hard drives. So that's nine hard drives right there, plus the two larger cages, 11 hard drives out of the box on this one.
Are the ones on the panels, are they 2.5-inch mounting spots, like?
Okay. Yeah, so these are all SSD mounts. So total of nine SSDs, or wait, six? Yeah, six, yeah.
Nine. 2.5-inch drives.
Yeah. And then you can also do 2.5-inch drives on the larger trays as well.
Sure.
But yeah, total 11 hard drives, which is just nuts.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But then, of course, when you open these panels up, you have, this is where all your cables get routed. There's all these Velcro cable ties that make it really easy to organize things. And again, you don't have to be great at organizing because you just close the panel and you can't see it anyways, even though this is the back of your case, which nobody's going to see anyways. I just really like this. It just, I think it just, again, making things that clean. I really, really like that.
Love it.
So yeah, that's basically the case. You guys can see our installation and our build. Super easy to build in. I really didn't run into any issues at all. Motherboard went in, no problem. Power supply goes in, no problem. More than enough room for graphics cards. You can fit the longest graphics cards here. No issue there at all. Here you can see our completed build. It's just clean. Like, look how clean that is.
I know. You sent me some pictures of this thing in its current build, right, with the water cooling in it. It's nice.
Yeah, so this is the build that we use for mainly our testing. I don't know if you can see, Ryan, but we closed these the covers a little bit so the holes aren't as big.
Old man was asking if the back panels take up space, making less room for routing. I don't think it does, because that section is kind of bumped into the body of the case, right? So I think you've got plenty of room for cabling.
Yeah, you have plenty of room for cabling. It might get a little tricky. Installing drives back here, you would have to have some cables kind of sitting down, because in order for these panels to open up, you need a little bit of leeway on your cables. But no, there's more than enough room back here to route cables. I didn't have a real issue, with room or anything like that. All of our cables routed quite easily through all of these all the cable routing sections, and all the Velcro ties just kept everything nice and tight. So didn't really run into any issues. And like I said, I really don't think you would, even if you had a lot more hardware than I did. You're really not going to run into a ton of issues, because there is a decent amount of space. And again, these panels, they sit flush with sort of like the back of the case.
Well, you're clicking awesome here.
I'm clicking all over the place. But like, these sit pretty flush with the back of the case, so there is a lot of room back there that to route all our cables. So you really won't run into any type of issue, I don't think. Yeah, and like I said, it's very easy. I didn't run into any issues. Does really good cooling wise as well. You can see like our CPU temperature is the lowest out of our test group. GPU temperature as far as load was tied with Cooler Master Half 500 for the lowest temperature there. Sound levels, it's probably sits in the middle of the pack. If you look at some of our sound levels for idle and load, not bad. Again, sitting in the middle of the pack, I would say, for that. But again, we have three fans in the front. Definitely something to keep in mind there. Now, this is the normal lighting without any of the extra stuff that we added. I would say the front fans light up the case a little bit, but if you did want to light it up more, either add more RGB fans or RGB strips. You can see, the RGB strip does light up here. And I have to say, we've talked about this before, having this cutout for the power supply right here.
Yeah.
Now, Cooler Master sent us over this power supply that does have a display. And I think it does. I can see why there are cutouts now, because this display does look pretty cool.
Yeah, but this is like the first one we've really... I mean, there's a couple others that have similar things. But hopefully we see more of this, taking advantage of that cutout. Because otherwise, it's just like... Hey, look, I can see the side of my G3. Yeah, I can see my 650-watt G3 from EVGA there. Like,
you're running a 650-watt.
I've bought that 750-watt replacement probably a year ago, and I just haven't replaced it. That's one of my things I plan to do either Thanksgiving or Christmas time.
Gotcha.
Along with a couple other things we'll talk about.
Yeah, but yeah, we have, the RGB strip at the front. And of course, our fans that light up quite nicely there as well. So some pretty good lighting. But Fantex was nice enough to send us over extra 140-millimeter fan that we put in the back of the case right here as an exhaust fan. And they sent us, it's their Glacier 360 MPH, which I'm actually going to be using in my new build. I got it for this case, for the build. I was like, I'm going to put this in my new system because it looks awesome. It has the halo ring fans, which are super cool because these pictures don't do it justice. Check out the video on the YouTube where I have a lot of awesome B-roll of these fans. The actual fans themselves are white, but this halo ring is an RGB ring that just makes them look amazing. I think they
look different than any other fans that are lit, in my opinion. I think they do look the best out of any RGB fans.
They look amazing, especially adding it to this build. The block here has the infinity mirror, which looks super cool. It's all white, which is going to match my new build. That's why I'm going to be using a new build. But everything together, I mean, it looks amazing. Everything sitting together. And then adding the AIO, I mean, it really dropped our CPU load temperature, like, tremendously. So I think, like I said, this is a really good case. It's high airflow. It's going to come with three fans. So you're pretty much good out of the box. I would suggest at least getting another rear fan. Like we did, you can get they sent us a two pack of the 140s. So you can buy them in a two pack. I believe you can buy them in a single pack as well. But they'll be the exact same fans. And what was really nice about this is that we were able to daisy chain the fans together, as well as daisy chain all the RGB elements of the AIO too. So they're all controlled by the controls on the case itself. It was super easy to do. Again, I really like that because RGB stuff can just be so annoying sometimes. But it was super easy to just, again, daisy chain everything together. So we can control it all by the buttons on the top of the case. It was really cool. I really like this case.
Yeah.
It's going to, the DRGB version that we reviewed is going to be $159.99. I do have to say too, basically besides like the front panel, the front bezel, everything in this case is metal too. So all the hard drive trays are metal. The panels, of course, are metal. Even the cable covers in the back that keep everything clean, those are all metal. A lot of, like I said, very, very high quality here and super easy to build in. And yeah, I really like this. And again, it's designed correctly. It's designed for high airflow. It's not like we have a glass panel in the front where you're not getting a whole lot of air in there. I really like the design of the side panels too, getting in and out of the case. Super easy there. And again, this is... we're going to start seeing it because of the size of the 4090, but this is one of the first cases that I've seen that does have three slots for vertical mounting built in, you know. You the riser isn't included in the case. You have to buy your own riser if you plan to do that. But this is, again, one of the first cases that I've seen that does have three slots. Like the case I'm using now only has a two slot available for vertical GPU mounting. We're going to see a lot of cases have at least a three slot for the 4090. So yeah. But yeah, I like this case. I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only downside I would say to this case is that top mount, that top cooling mount is not removable. You know, having the top cooling mount just makes it easier to install fans or a radiator. But again, it still wasn't hard. Like I installed the radiator for the AIO with our motherboard installed. Like I didn't have to take anything out. It was pretty easy to install up there. But just for convenience sake, it would have been nice if that section was removable from the case. But yeah, check out the review. Like I said, I had a lot of fun with this one, and check out the video on the YouTube. And again, you can, like I said, you can see it. It's right there.
It does look good.
And like I said, I think it looks nice.
Nice cycle going in there.
Yeah, it looks really good. And again, if you add more RGB to it, it's going to look awesome too. So, and one thing I didn't mention too. So again, the RGB controller that is on the case itself, it gets controlled by the two buttons on the top of the case. If you don't want to use that RGB controller, like you want to match everything with your motherboard, that controller does have a 3-pin addressable header that you can connect to your motherboard so that, you know, you can control all of the RGB elements with your motherboard's RGB software. So I like that they give you that option as well. But yeah, check out the review. Like I said, was a lot of fun. I spent the last week and a half working on this thing. It was, you know, doing the one build and then adding the RGB stuff and then shooting all the B-roll. And like I said, check out the video. I did a lot of slider action with the slider on this one. So yeah, so that brings us to Case Mod Friday this weekend. We have another build. I think you'll like this one, Ryan.
Yeah.
We talked about this, the Core P3 Pro. I believe that's the case, right? This is the Core P3 TG Pro. They had a case mod competition for this, Thermaltake did. And this is another one. This one's done by Pause Hardware, Overwatch 2 themed. Have you played that yet?
Yeah. Yes, for about 10 minutes. Okay. Just to try it out. Like,
yeah,
you know, I played a lot of Overwatch when it first came out and then stopped. And I would play it like seasonally, usually around like Halloween and Christmas time for their events that they would do. But yeah, I played a little bit of Overwatch 2 a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, this is much like the Modern Warfare one that we saw. I believe that one was part of the same competition.
Gotcha.
Very cool theme. Open air design. That's what the Core P3 TG Pro kind of is. I really like this one. I mean, it colors are great. Everything kind of goes together really well. Matches that orange, the Overwatch orange, as I call it. Yeah, it just looks awesome.
This is well, I guess it's kind of that color scheme of that Sonic board we were taking a look at. I was like,
this kind of,
space for that Sonic board, but no, it wouldn't, because that Sonic board has the gold rings and stuff on it.
Yeah,
but
it does have
a similar color scheme. Yeah, no, I like the blue and the white fittings. Yeah, I think this looks good.
Thermaltake water cooling on this as well, too.
Yes. I think the only thing I would have changed or would have liked to see here is adding two more sticks of memory in there.
Yeah.
I always prefer to see a full array of
that. DIMM see, slots. That was my. So for my new build, I was like, I'm going to get 32. I'm trying to save some money. And I was like, I got to get 64. I got to fully populate everything.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and did that. In the chat, they asked, is the P3 TG Pro still wall mountable? I'm not sure. I didn't review this. This is just a case that somebody did a build in. I know which one did I review?
I know some of them are.
The one that I reviewed.
Kind of easy to.
The one that I reviewed was the Core 6. Core P6 TG that I reviewed was, it has the VESA mounts built into it. I'm not 100% sure if this one does. I would assume it does. Just because that's the whole idea of this series was right. is to be wall mountable. So I assume it does.
That's so much weight though to put on your wall. I'm always skeptical of wall mounts, especially when you start adding liquid to it, right?
Yeah.
Things get heavy pretty quick.
Especially if you're like a noob and you're not like mounting proper.
Oh, these drywall.
Yeah.
Your drills will be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, very, like I said, very cool build. I like it. And there's a couple more that I've seen in this. Like I said, this competition was awesome from Thermal Tech. There's a lot of really talented people nice. Doing builds for this. So if you want to check it out, you can definitely go ahead and do that. I really like That's this cool. one. So go ahead and check that out. We also have our competition still going on, or our giveaway, giving away the titanium micro mercury. 8 days left on this one. 2 terabytes portable SSD, which is perfect. I think a lot of people are going to be traveling around the holidays, probably. You want to take some data with you. You want to take some games with you. This is going to be the perfect drive because it is very fast, and it can survive pretty much anything. One, because it's an SSD, so no moving parts. 2, this thing has a very rugged design, and it is military spec protection on there. So you won't. It would take a lot for you to really break this drive. So
yeah.
So yeah, get your entry in. It's super easy to enter. We do all of our giveaways through Gleam. So just fill it out. And there's 12 other ways you can enter too, by like subscribing to us on YouTube, following us on social media, things like that. So get your entry in.
Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch as well. You can subscribe to Twitch. There's a bunch of things on there that you can do for that. So definitely get in on that. And that's going to bring us to news. And we didn't review the RTX 4080, but this past week, all the reviews came out. I don't know if you had a chance to look at them.
I didn't read everything. I focused on Tech Power Ups.
They always do a good job. That's like who I always typically, if I'm looking for information, Tech Power Up does a really good job. And I actually have their data here as far as performance. So RTX 4080, $1,200. 16%
for Founders Edition.
For the Founders Edition. Right. So it's 16% faster than the RTX 4090. 3090, RTX 3090 Ti. So 16% faster than that. 49% faster than the RTX 3080. 25% faster than the Radeon RX 6950 XT. But it's still 25% slower than the RTX 4090.
Right.
But a lot of performance in there, a lot of new tech in there.
I heard Gamers Nexus also say it a pretty nice way. You said it, 25% slower than the 4090. It's like dollar for dollar a reduction from the 4090, essentially, right? It's 75% of the performance of the 4090, but it's 75% of the price, or 25% less, 25% less cost. So just something to keep in mind there. Like, your dollar is going to scale from that 4080 to the 4090. But anyhow, just a note.
Yeah. There. Yeah. I think it's a good, I do think it is expensive. And I know a lot of people, yes. I'll bring up something that I want you to take a look at that we posted on.
I mean, it's fast, right? Like, you look at graphs, but yeah, I saw this.
So,
It was like a nice throwback also to kind of see what history's done to us.
Yeah. So somebody made this, somebody posted this on Reddit. And again, base price $1,200, which is expensive for an 80 class card.
Absolutely.
Right? And if we look at, somebody put together all of the 80 class cards, all the way going back all the way to the GTX 280, and they adjusted the prices for inflation, and
it doesn't look good.
It does not look good. I know we're in a little bit of trying times with inflation and supply chains and things like that, but $1,200 for an 80 class card is, I know we're getting great performance, right? We're getting awesome performance And again, you know, a lot of people have said NVIDIA saw what people would pay, especially during the pandemic. I mean, when we had the chip shortage, I mean, people, yeah, you know, so maybe that's what, you know, I don't know. But even the 2020 RTX 3080, the MSRP was $699. If you adjust that for inflation, it would be $800. You know, and this card is still $1,200. I mean,
that's nuts.
And I did see,
I don't like this at all.
I did see a lot of people were posting on Reddit too, and I saw it on Twitter that like the micro centers and the places that were doing like the either the morning or midnight sales, you know, there wasn't a ton of people in line. It wasn't like this big thing where there was a ton of people in line waiting to get this card.
I'm not overly surprised.
And I do think it's expensive. I do think that based, you know, $1,000 used to be like the big dog, right?
Well, you could build a PC for $1,000. You still can, just not with a current graphics card. But yes, $1,000 was like your Titan or your top of the line TI, maybe.
Old man in the chat said, he said many tech reviewers have speculated that the 4080 and 4090 are so expensive NVIDIA can sell off the 3000 series more readily. And that's the thing, you know, the 3080, the 3080 Ti, or you know the 3090 Ti are going to be well under $1,200. And if you know, again, if you're gaming, even if you're gaming in 4K, I mean, you really don't necessarily need something more powerful than that. So that's just something to think about. I mean, I like that there's more than one option, right? Because I mean, what, you know, the 4090, everybody was waiting for the 4080 to come out. Still a lot. And again, there's so much, I would say, stock, and there's so much older cards out there that are relatively inexpensive now that will do you just fine, especially if you're gaming on lower resolutions. I mean, especially 1080. I mean, but if you're gaming in 1440 even,
you could get away with a 30, you know, 3070, 3080, and get pretty nice performance on most games at pretty high settings. I'm contemplating, you know, like, what do I want to make my next move to? And I keep going back and forth with like, maybe I'll go like a 3080, something higher. But one of our next stories, I think I've made up my mind as to what I'm going to get. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Gotcha. Well, I was just about to ask you, you know, if you were doing a new build, well, we'll talk about some other stuff and then we'll come back to my question, because I think that would factor into a lot of these things. Also, and I know this officially, like this isn't a rumor, I actually have the details of this. So we talked about the 4070 Ti, and I hate this. This was supposed to be the RTX 4080 12 gigabytes.
Right.
It appears they're keeping the configuration the same, but it's going to launch in January, basically at CES on January 5th. A couple different launch dates. The card is going to be officially unveiled on the 3rd, which would be at CES. January 4th, product reviews will come out. January 5th, you'll be able to buy the card. And this is like, I know this like officially. I didn't have to sign an NDA, so I can tell you this. And then here's the box art that really confirms this. And the thing that I don't like about this, again, we're going to get another card. I like it. It's going to be cheaper, right? Hopefully.
Yep.
Than what the, you know, but this is so out of order.
Absolutely. It's a TI card before we even get in the set. Like, it makes no sense. And it just shows that, like, they were planning to sell us the 4080 12 gig in its original configuration and be perfectly happy with that. And they were going to have something else for the 4070. And now they're like, well, we already know what our 4070 is going to be. We can't sell this 4080 12 gig anymore. So I guess we are going to just make a 4070 Ti and go with it. At least that's my opinion and viewpoint as to what happened. I didn't think we would see the 4070 Ti. I think I've mentioned that a couple times. I didn't think that would happen yet.
I think even last week we talked, I was like, yeah, you won't see this for a while because again, you release the regular version of the cards, the 4090, 4080, 4070, 4060, whatever. And then a year later or whatever, you do the refresh, which is the Ti or the soup, you know, soup, supers. And this just makes it so confusing for the customer, especially first time builders. I talk about this so much. It's like, what's the latest card? Is it the Ti? Oh, I'm not sure because they released the Ti this time before the other ones. Right. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just very confusing to the consumer. And again, they're going to stick a 4070 below it, you know, to compete with whatever else is coming out. I don't know. I just, it's just, it seems like with all the power cable issue and then this, it just seems like NVIDIA.
As much head shaking as like I can do on this, this is the card that I'll most likely go with. I've always been that 70 series purchaser, you know, this will most likely be what I go with. Yeah. But yeah, I think Old Man does have a good point they made earlier, right? The 40 and 80 and 90 are so expensive so that they can get rid of that excess 3000 series inventory, taking up warehouse space and trying to get them out the door, which is perfectly legitimate speculation.
Yeah. I'm not happy with this. I'm upset.
That doesn't make me happy, but that's the card I'll most likely end up going to.
Okay.
As long as it's priced right. Seeing the current 80 and 90 cards, maybe it won't be priced where I want.
Yeah, I mean, what was it supposed to be, $899
for the other version?
4080.
Yeah, you can't ask that for a 70 series card. I mean, they can ask it, I guess. And
yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the price will be. I don't have that information yet. But for the we will see a 4060 and according to the latest rumors, we'll get a 4060 to launch in the summer.
I hate that. It's so far away.
That is very far away. So for summer 2023, RTX 4060 is expected. Performance to rival that of the current 3070. And again, do you think they're like curtailing this off a little bit because there's so much RTX 30 series inventory still?
I mean, I guess it's possible.
Like if you see something like this, like, oh, summer, I guess I will buy a 30 series.
Exactly. Or they need that much time to build up inventory. I don't know. I don't feel like that's necessarily the case, but yeah, it kind of gives more credibility to what Old Man said of, hey, they've got a lot of 3000 series parts. And who knows, maybe they do because was that inventory stuck on container ships, right? For the longest time, and it's, you know, they're finally filling up these warehouses and going, oh man, yeah, we had a lot incoming and now they're here and we have to launch our newest product. So yeah.
And I do think too, that whole time period, a lot of people, that was before RTX 40 series was announced. So a lot of people were thinking, oh, I'm going to get the next one. Right. And then we're coming into a very bad time where the economy is not so great. You're kind of more reserved with the money that you do have. You maybe it's not the best time to buy. So maybe they're in a predicament where they have all this inventory. People either want to buy the new stuff, or if they're not going to buy the new stuff, they're just waiting because they don't want to spend their money right now because they're unsure. The money situation is kind of uncertain right now with how the economy is. So they're kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a long time. Long time.
I don't think we've ever been like that long from the initial launch to like the, cause that'll be what we expect. So does that mean we're not going to see anything between this 4070 Ti and the 4060, right? Are we not going to see a flat 4070 or anything in, you know, TI versions. I wouldn't expect TI versions of the 8090 yet, but yeah, what does that leave us? And then is there going to be a 4050 or anything, you know?
Yeah, like how far down is the segment going? When are we going to get the full
lineup? Right,
the full
exactly.
The full, like,
official. It's going to be a whole year before we know the whole product line. You know,
it's just a lot.
These cards are going to be a year.
It's jumbled. It's all jumbled, I would say.
Yep.
But this card is going to be based on the AD106, which is actually going to be the fourth chip in the ADA Lovelace architecture. Again, performance to match the current RTX 3070 at a lower price point, $399, which would put it around the price of the current RTX 3060 Ti. Okay. So, but again, that's just so far in the future. I can't even like get excited about it because it's so far out. Talking about the 16-pin, we called it Meltgate. We've talked about this for weeks now. 16-pin power adapters from NVIDIA have been melting. They've been destroying cards. There's been all this stuff back and forth. NVIDIA did release that they get their power adapters from two different manufacturers and all of the details on those. You know, there's been reports that the one adapter is more reliable than the other. You know, the two companies is NTK and Astron. Never heard of either of these companies. You know, then there's a lot of going back and forth. Oh, this one's more than the other. One thing that was really cool that came out this past week is Gamers Nexus did a video testing cables and going over everything. If you're interested in this or you want to know more, I would highly suggest watching their video.
That's a good video.
Yeah, it's a really good video going over what causes the cables to melt or overheat and everything like that. We talk about it a little bit, and what the reasons are. The main reason is just because when the cable's not actually seated correctly,
right.
Which is something that happens. I've done that before.
Yeah. Especially like where I see it happen sometimes is like on the 24 pin and the 8 or 4 pin CPU, right? Like up in that top corner, sometimes there's like a heat sink or you just don't have a lot of area to, and you're like, yeah, I think that clicked in or plugged in all the way. I don't know.
Yeah, so
it stinks, but they could reproduce, you know, melting cables every time if they didn't plug it in all the way.
Yeah, so. Which is concerning.
Yeah.
Right. Check out their video. They go into a lot of detail on all of this. If you're interested, check it out, because again, there's not a whole lot of people doing this kind of crazy investigation on these type of cables. But again, this is probably like the biggest story of the year. I was thinking as we're getting towards the end of the year, we're going to do a kind of wrap up of the year. And I do think this is like, this is one of the biggest hardware stories of the year. It has to be.
Yeah. This and like EVGA getting out of the GPU market.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. One. Yeah. Yeah. We're, like I said, but we'll be doing an end of the year kind of podcast. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, check out Gamers Nexus. Shout out to them for doing that, because people just want to know. And I don't think, you know, I don't think NVIDIA is going to put out that they, you know, messed up or whatever. And again, you really want an independent investigation of the problem, right?
Yep.
Talking about RTX 4090, this insane card, which I think it looks and it's awesome looking card. The Galax GeForce RTX 4090 Hall of Fame card was overclocked. You can see it here. Everything's taken apart on the card. But it broke 49. It broke 20 world records, 3D Mark, Superposition, all these benchmarks. We have them all listed here. All 20 benchmark scores Good that Lord. It broke. Which is crazy for overclocking. It's just
that card is crazy looking though. It's so over the top, like the normal layout of it. It's got a screen on it, like all sorts of extra plastic and stuff.
And it's the one that has the two 16 pins.
Oh my gosh.
You want to make sure those are in there correctly.
All the way in.
But actually, you know what? Having two, you wouldn't necessarily, I mean, this is for overclocking, right? But if you're just a normal user, it balances out the load.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you may be a little safer. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And going back to the connectivity, I was reading just some comments on either the Gamers Nexus comments or Tech Power Up, an article of theirs, maybe. Either way, and it got me thinking, someone had mentioned some power connections that utilize screws. Like, why can't we get to a point where, you know, you've got, you know, your plug and it connects in, and then you've got two little screws on the sides that tighten into the card? Because you think about it, like, most people are installing, plugging those in, and they're never going to touch them again, or very rarely need to remove it and plug it back in, remove it. You know, reviewers and things like that are a little different story, but using some other like tightening mechanism that's a little more substantial might help, you know, resolve this on future designs.
Yeah. Do you remember?
I mean, we screw in our CPU coolers and so many other things in our builds. Why can't we add that process to some of the power connections?
Yeah. And again, especially that much power, right?
Right.
I think, and do you remember the DVI cable? You would plug, you would screw those in on the back of your old
VGA, DVI, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember all that stuff. So.
But then before they had the blue on VGA, they had the, you know, the pegs that would stick out for your fingers. You used to actually have to use the screwdriver
talking about going over to the AMD side of things, basically the day before the RTX 4080 was like officially came out, AMD put out all this stuff, and they're basically taking shots at NVIDIA here. So AMD, you know, we have their RX 7900 XT and the 7900 XTX coming out. And they put out a few graphs here. This first one shows that, of course, there's more memory compared to the 4080. And that memory is going across a larger bus on both of the cards. Also, that the 7900 XT actually has a lower TDP. So that was the first graph that they put out. The second graph is size. So the card is much smaller as well. 2.5 slot compared to 3 slots. 287 millimeters for the XTX compared to 304 for the 4080. And then 267 millimeters for the... that's a 6950, sorry. But then, the big thing, 2 8-pin power, you know, normal PCI Express power connections compared to the 12 plus 4-pin power plug there. So again, big differences there. Also, they went over the outputs. You know, you're going to get DisplayPort 2.1 instead of DisplayPort 1.4a. Which of course is going to give you 8K at 165 hertz and 4K at 480 hertz. Like we talked about last week, AMD is saying that displays that do support that will be coming out this upcoming year. Higher max bandwidth for display ports, and then you do get the USB-C on their cards as well. So again, taking shots compared to the RTX 40 series. And then, of course, price, right? So the RTX 4080 that we talked about, $1,200 compared to $1,000 for the 7900 XTX, and then, you know, $899 for the 7900 XT. Now, as I said earlier, I was going to ask you a question. If you were going to get a card and you could spend up to $1,200, right? So you had $1,200
okay
to spend on a graphics card, and other components, not just sure. like not your full build, but you had $1,200. Would you buy just an RTX 4080, or would you buy, say, like the 7900 XTX and have $200 extra for a faster SSD or a better case? Or would you buy a 7900 XT, or would you be waiting for the 4070 Ti? Like, what would your choice be?
I think if I had the $1,200 and if I could spend it all on the 4080 and not have the other components be like subpar, right? I mean, okay. let's say I chose the 7900 XTX because I wanted that extra $200 to spend on something else. I would go that route maybe if it was more capacity, but you know, like same performance of SSD at either level. So it'd be kind of a mix, right? It really kind of depends on what those other components would be. Yeah, that's a tough question. I want to see the stats on this, the 4070 Ti, just because that, for me, it's tough to spend that $1,200 on a single component.
Yeah.
For me.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. I want to know, cause like I said, and again, I mean, AMD does make a very compelling argument.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Price wise, but also like I said, connectivity wise, you don't have to worry about burning your card up.
Yeah, you know, like an old man just said, you don't need the power adapter or a new power supply either.
Well, that's the thing too, is, you know, a lot of people keep graphics cards for a very long time. And what's like the normal warranty on a graphics card?
Like 3 years maybe?
Yeah, so like, I know people that have the same graphics card for like 7 years. I mean, you see people on Reddit all the time. They're like, oh yeah, my 1080 is just doing fine, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, your build that you've had for years goes through different cases, or you upgrade one thing or another, whatever, right? That one time you mess up that connection.
Yeah.
Are they going to honor that? Are they going to give you a replacement years later? Or are they just going to be like, well, it's out of warranty? Like,
yeah, tough luck. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something to really think about. Again, if you're building a PC every 5 years, every 7 years, even every 10 years, I mean, that's definitely something to consider when you're thinking about somewhere in the RTX until they figure this out, right? Until this whole thing is kind of figured out, which it really necessarily isn't yet. And again, you know, 6-7 years down the line, maybe you're not really, it's in your head now. Like, I'll have to be super careful connecting this, but like 6 years from now,
you're not going to remember. Oh yeah, these things did have a life cycle of 30 connections or whatever.
It's like something you might not think about. So like I said, some of the thing about, but yeah, like I said, AMD taking shots here. It's going to be interesting holiday season, I think, for all these cards. Mm-hmm. Well, at least we're getting more, like I said, a lot of choices out there to build new stuff, which I like. This is something that you are excited about. I don't know how I'm excited.
I'm not as excited as I could be. There's a couple things that not bug me about this, but.
All right. So we have a new Stream Deck from Elgato, the Stream Deck Plus, which basically gives you what, 2, 4, 6, 8 buttons. I reviewed this thing, this screen thing.
It's right over here.
Oh yeah.
Sent it to me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's plus 3 knobs or dials here.
Four
knobs or dials. I can't see right now. How much is this thing? 200?
199?
Yeah, $200. I guess it looks like you can get different knob options and things like that. I like this, but I do have to say, and again, I didn't look at the reviews, so I've just...
I wish it would have come out sooner.
This product, when it came out, like what, 3 years ago, was cool. This LCD type product that showed different stats. But compared to what's available now, LCD wise, and what you can do, again, I don't know if it's the same one. I don't know if it's just the same.
I think it's smaller. Well, actually, you know what? No, it's probably not. It's probably the same size. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crappy compared to what is available now that you can get. I like the knobs. I know a lot of people were going, they had a Stream Deck for a while, and then they switched it to do the Loop Deck, which, let me see if I can break that up.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted either sliders or knobs to be available, you know, on the Stream Deck somehow without having to get another device.
Yeah, so this is the
totally change things up.
So this is the Loop Deck. A lot of people were into this because it had really, it had the buttons, but it had all these knobs and a bunch of stuff that you can do, right? A lot of people were getting that. And it seems like, again, Elgato gave you the knobs. Again, this all goes into the software. It should work pretty easily. I don't know. This screen, I'd have to, again, I didn't take the time to like look at people's reviews and see how good this screen is. But I have seen videos of the Loop Deck and that screen looks pretty nice and everything. But again, I think for people, these are really like a Stream Deck is to do actions and to do things and for shortcuts and things like that, not necessarily to display information, right?
Right, right.
And I think you would be better served possibly with a smaller display for whatever these things would be and just a normal Stream Deck, or take out the screen and give me four more buttons, right? That's my, because again, if it's the same screen that was on the, what was that product called that
I don't know, it's a Corsair, I don't know.
Yeah, because Corsair came out with a product that was basically just this, that's sort of attached.
It's touch screen, right? So that's, you know, that's the thing, is you can adjust things on that touch screen. And I think that you do need the screen with the dials, right? Because if you're adjusting volume, like yeah, they're showing sure. here, like Zoom or whatever, yeah. you want to see what that.
I guess that makes sense. Is. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to watch some.
The IQ Nexus.
Yeah.
Companion cool. touchscreen.
Let's see.
Yep. And it's a $100 screen. It is, what's the size here? Here we go. I guess you got it there.
So we reviewed this back in 2020. So it's 2 years ago, not 3 years. Well, and it, like I said, it attached to your keyboard. You know, it could show certain things. It was cool for the time, like, you know, back in 2020, but now with all the different screen op, like, you know, little screens you can get and things like that, I wouldn't say it's the best product, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've got the screens that interact with what, Ada 64 that go inside your
yeah.
PC. But at the same time, if it's inside your PC, that's for me 3 feet away. I'm not going to be looking that far away, especially if.
Yeah, but you can also, I mean, you can also connect those with a longer HDMI.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
If the screen is better than this screen, then yeah.
It seems low resolution and the lighting on it was a bit off, I think. This makes it look a little better, but it could be just the same screen.
Yeah. But it's like I said, if you're a streamer, I think it would definitely be worth considering. Gives you a lot of different options. I think the dials are a nice addition. Again, Loop Deck was like kind of taking the Stream Deck's steam a little bit because a lot of people wanted the dial. So they added it. For a lot of people, the 8 buttons are more than enough, I would say, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Well, and especially because you can utilize one of them to go to like another menu, you know, sub menus. So
yeah, your
button configuration can change.
And like I said, I mean, if you're in the sort of Elgato ecosystem anyways, everything's going to plug into go into their software, which you probably are already familiar with. Like it makes sense. Yeah. Old Man said,
yes, they did.
Yeah. I think Logitech used to sell keyboards. Yeah. I remember, what was that? The G15?
It's that. Yeah. That's what I was just looking up. It's the G15 keyboard. I still have mine.
We reviewed it.
You did?
Yeah, but it might be before the new, like before we got on WordPress, because
I mean, yeah, I bought the original Logitech G15 that was just the
blue. I mean, we don't, it's not on the reviews
page
on
the website. No,
this is just all old stuff. But no, I mean, all the articles from the website, that are on the current version website don't go back to like the go back as far. But yeah, the original Logitech G15, that was at the time like revolutionary.
Oh, it was awesome. The G keys on the side, right? The screen that you could adjust and configure. Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah,
I still have mine.
I don't have mine anymore. Let's see if we can.
And they came out with a couple versions of it as well.
Yeah, the original. Like this was the original.
Right? No.
That's not it.
That's the second version. That's the second. Yep, right there. Second generation G15. Nope. The first one
is right here. This is.
Yes, this, with the
you
blue.
You can get it on eBay. 125.
Yes, that's.
Yeah, I remember this because I remember having the little volume. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, that. I loved it, man. That volume knob I would use all the time and the audio settings. Yeah.
And the screen pulled up, which was super cool.
Yep, you could tilt it.
Yeah.
It had USB pass through, two USB ports on there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, one here. One
it had. What was that? 18 G keys to the left. Yeah. Dude, this thing was like my go-to for when I played WoW. Like,
and I really liked it.
Configured. Oh,
you can't tell on this, but like the F row, they're smaller. They're thinner.
Yes. Yes.
I really liked the feel of those because I remember this keyboard. I think like this was like.
The keyboard to have.
Yeah, it was the keyboard to have. Like it was so cool. I don't see if we can find a picture of it. Because, yeah, I remember the second one because, here's the, this is a Wikipedia. Yeah, and it lit up blue. So, like, these lit up blue. Yeah, you could see all your stuff like that. This was the.
Whoa, that left, that's a different layout.
What do you mean?
Look at the top, Q-W-E-R-T-Z. There's a Y in the bottom, like the Y and the Z are swapped. And look at that left shift. I was like, I don't remember mine being like that.
Yeah, this is different. This is
it's like a little different, maybe a different language layout or something.
But yeah, this was we should try to get some of this old stuff in and like re-review it now.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's see. We'll do one more here.
Maybe the shift key is that small.
I don't know. But yeah, that's when like Logitech was like the only brand too. Do you remember like if you wanted it, if you wanted like a gaming, something to do with gaming, it was like
it had to be Logitech. Yep.
It was like Logitech and like, was that who else was around back then?
I don't know. Logitech. I'm sure there were others.
But most of those other companies are out of business too.
Right. They don't exist. Like this was before Corsair started making mice. And keyboards, right?
OCZ
Microsoft
was,
maybe, right? Microsoft.
OCZ and the OCZ had some mice, I believe, right?
Probably.
Yeah, Microsoft had like everybody had the Microsoft mouse
or the Sidewinder, like with some of their stuff. I think they had a Sidewinder keyboard, but
yeah, so it's always fun to go down memory lane because you and I are old enough where we're like in the gaming. PC hardware, and not PC hardware, but in the gaming scene since it's been a thing, right? Because that was like the original gaming keyboard for the most part, you know. It's cool to see how far things have gone. Now, would you pick up the new Stream Deck Plus? Do you have a Stream Deck now?
Yeah. If I didn't have it, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I wouldn't necessarily add it on. Currently, like I'm happy with just the standard Stream Deck, but there's times when I would like I'll adjust music volume in our streams, right? And I have that configured to buttons on the Stream Deck, but sometimes I'd like to just spin the dial to get a quicker up and down as opposed to like tapping a button to adjust that volume.
Gotcha. All right, so no, we're not going to go into detail in this next story, but I think this thing like just looks awesome, so I wanted to talk about it. TP-Link unveiled Wi-Fi 7 stuff, which is crazy. Where like things just keep on getting more crazy, but this router looks awesome.
It looks very industrial, futuristic kind of design. I like it. It looks neat.
And I do like it that it has like you get a little clock on there, you get the temperature. I don't know. I think it's cool.
I'm a person that none of my networking gear is out and visible.
My
Well, I say that I've got a huge TP-Link router upstairs in my wife's office, so never mind.
Yeah, that's this. It's the BE19000. That's what.
Okay, what is that other image?
This one.
Yeah,
that is the Archer GE800. Okay. You're getting 10 gig on this.
Empire
that's
fighter? Just landed, right?
Yeah.
Wings have just folded up and
yeah it's pretty futuristic stuff here. Wi-Fi 7.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, the Nelson says it looks like a GPU, the 4090 Wi-Fi. You turn it on its side, it almost does kind of look like a
yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, I do like I said I like or the industrial design of it. And again, this would like this would look good in like your living room, right?
Yes.
That's the only reason I want to talk about it. For all you networking geeks, if you want to look at all the specs and stuff, their new Deco 7 stuff. So yeah. Cool. New stuff, new tech coming out as always. Talking about what we have coming up next week. It was the same thing that was supposed to be this week, but I did the case review instead. Same thing. MSI MPG Carbon X670E. Accept all these things. Cool board here.
It's kind of a cool looking case too.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is. One of their cases, MSI case. This is all MSI stuff. Yep. Right here. But yeah,
Dragons.
X670E. We got a few boards in for X670E, so excited to take a look at that. And then I'll also be taking a look at a 3-in-1 charging stand, which has come in handy so much lately.
This thing's cool.
I like it. From Monoprice. Just super simple. Just allows you to charge 3 different devices at once. I'll be taking a look at that as well. So that will be what is upcoming next week. Before we get out of here, old man, if you wanted to grab the games, free games on Epic Games Store. Did you do anything tech related this past week?
I did. I put together a video for another channel of mine, and I was talking to you about like audio solutions for the DJI Osmo Action. So I went out and I've got two live unboxings. These showed up today. So two accessories. Let's see here. I think I want to open this one first. All right.
Hopefully you got the right stuff.
These are not what
we're doing it live.
All right. So I got a PGY Tech.
Okay. I was going to say you should have gotten that. Yeah.
Yep. So I bought the camera cage for my DJI Osmo Action, which will do a couple things for me. Really the main thing is it has two cold shoe,
adapters.
So I can add on like a microphone to the top or a light or a screen or something like that. And then I bought the Aquachino. Let's see here. Yep. That's right. All right. I thought I bought a different brand. This is the JJC 3.5mm and USB type C adapter for the DJI Osmo Action, because it does not have external like audio capabilities unless you use an
adapter. Yeah, get the adapter.
So this adds a 3.5 jack so that I can attach something like my Rode microphone that I use on my M50 to my DJI Osmo Action. The reason
You got a Rode microphone?
Yeah, I have the Go.
Okay. The small one.
The same one you have, I think. Yeah, the small one with the fuzzy ball on it. So I wanted to be able to add some better audio to my action camera because it has the nice, you know, video smoothing. It just could have some improved audio. So, yeah, gotcha. Super cheap. Like both of these was like, I don't know, $25 or something.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah. So I actually considered doing the same thing. Even though the Osmo Action, the original, which I also have, it does pick up pretty good audio. I shot a lot of stuff on it. And picks up pretty good audio, but it's not amazing.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But for what you want to use it for, yeah, definitely get the adapter. Ryan didn't know there was an adapter. He was like,
I just hadn't looked into it. Right?
Hell yeah.
It would have been nice if it had like a Bluetooth adapter, or it supported Bluetooth microphones. That would be
You can do is plug in a a wireless mic set.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, as far as games go, Old Man has got Dark Deity and Evil Dead are free on Epic right now. And then Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell is free in the Ubisoft stores. A lot of free stuff. It is getting holiday time. I think we're getting a lot of, like, you're going to see a lot of free games. Black Friday is coming up as well. Lots of stuff coming up for that as well.
We're talking, I think that'll be, I'm going to keep my eye on 5800X 3D on sale for Black Friday. I hope I didn't miss the cheap pricing, right? I think it came down to $329.
Yeah.
But I've heard that there's maybe some inventory issues with that product. You know, they're running out of it. So, you know, it may not go on sale at Black Friday because they don't have the inventory to support having it on sale. I hope that's not the case, because
we shall see. When that's coming up, right? When's Black Friday?
Next Friday, week from tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. So we'll be able, because we have some deals that I know are already happening. Some companies have sent us. So we'll talk about that next week on the podcast, which will be pretty cool.
Sweet.
So we're going to go ahead and jump over to Twitch. Ryan will have that stream up, twitch.tv/thecomputers, playing some Apex Legends. I'm actually excited to play. I've had a long, stressful week. I want to play some games. So we're going to go ahead and jump on over there. Old Man also said Epic gives away AAA games every holiday season, so it's worth keeping an eye out. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that stuff too. Check the social media. So lots of cool stuff coming up on the site as well. But again, if you guys want to keep on hanging out with us, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will see everybody next week.